Yeah, great to have your company. Stephen Carl in our studios from Bryden's Lawyers. Any legal questions for him, you can phone us right now, 13 13 32. He joins us. Stephen, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stuart.
Now, Mike Baird introducing this legislation today in relation to ICAC. Can you effectively, retrospectively do this and avoid any further legal challenges to that legislation?
Look, you can try to, certainly. Obviously, the Parliament's been let down by the parliamentary draftsman in the first round of ICAC legislation, High Court determining that what they think their reach is a bit overextended. And I guess Mike Baird's trying to fix up that error. Obviously, without seeing the legislation, it's a bit hard to say.
No, I understand that, But I just wonder that the principle of it, because, you know, you've got a number of these business people, and one of them today, John McGuigan, raising some concerns that, you know, effectively, you know, the finding of corruption against them were looking doubtful because they're not public officials themselves. Now this legislation made retrospectively, would you still not be thinking about rushing off to the Supreme Court challenging that legislation in the first place?
Look, what may happen is that the retrospective legislation might empower ICAC to make those findings, and that's what they'd be attempting to do.
Yep.
Terribly unfair, but there's been examples of retrospective legislation affecting the rights of people in the state previously, and fairly recently there were workers' compensation changes which changed the rights of workers for claims that had already been made,
yes,
and rights were existing. And a lot of those workers have had their rights taken away, and it may well be that this legislation justifies the findings of the ICAC, which might have been under doubt.
Yeah, OK, well, that legislation is being presented as we speak and expected to be voted on with bipartisan support the next couple of days. Now, I've had umpteen emails from people who worked on election day for this No Land Tax Party. Now, ultimately, the party was unsuccessful. Many of them worked from early in the morning through until 6 at night. They were promised upwards of $330, $400 for the day. Now, I've received various assurances from the head of the No Land Tax Party, Peter Jones, on a number of different occasions. Nothing has ever happened. He guaranteed they'd be paid at the end of April. There would be hundreds, if not thousands, of people involved here. What are the prospects of some sort of court action being launched on their behalf to try and recover what they're owed?
Look, I think there's a couple of options there. Obviously, individuals can take action, and sadly, it's probably the case that it's not economically viable to pay a lawyer to do these actions for you if we're talking about amounts of $300 or $400.
That's right, yeah.
But people are able to go to the Fair Work Commission. I understand that they've already got a great number of people who have filed applications, and there's investigations going on. So in those circumstances, people should be lodging claims to get them on and recognised.
With the Fair Work Commission. Fair Work Commission. Yep.
What they'd want to be gathering together is evidence that they obviously performed the work.
Yep.
And some sort of corroborative evidence that they were there for those hours.
Yes.
And, I think we touched on this before when, I think it was early April, when the promise was we'll be paying people next week,
yes,
and obviously next week's been and gone a few times over.
That's right.
But people should be taking steps to try and recover that money and secure the payment. Now, once you've got the proceedings in place, well, the problems of who you've contracted with and that sort of thing, hopefully they can be sorted out by the Fair Work Commission because of the volume of people who are actually lodging complaints with them.
Okay, so that would be Fair Work Commission, then that's one way to get around it, because they can do that without the cost of involving lawyers and other things through Fair Work?
Exactly right. I think you can lodge your applications online, so if people jump onto the internet and Google Fair Work Commission,
yep,
the forms are fairly straightforward. Get your claim lodged and in. If anyone needs any help or guidance, give Bryden's a ring and we can give you some help and guidance and point you in the right direction.
And when you talk about corroborating how long you were there for, I mean, for a lot of people it's difficult because you've got polling booths all over the place, even within one electorate. Now, no one from No Land Tax was going around all day ticking off names saying, yes, you're definitely here. So in part, he even conceded, Peter Jones, that they were relying on people's goodwill not to dud them. But of course, they've all been dudded. So what do? You sign a stat deck? What happens?
Look, there seems to be a lot of goodwill on one side.
That's
and not
right.
Much,
no,
not
on
much
the other,
on the
that's
other.
Quite right.
But obviously, you've got to be able to prove a case on balance. So if you're, and from what I understand, a lot of these workers were in discussions with other people working on polling day.
That's right,
and,
yes.
And it may be that you'll be able to contact one of the workers from one of the other parties who are manning the polling booth to get some sort of statement or stat deck just to say, well, look, Joe Smith was there from the crack of dawn to close of polling, and that was 11 hours, and I think the offer was something like the $30 or $40 an hour.
Yep.
Therefore, here's some supporting evidence to support what the actual worker has to say. Or in cases where you had two workers manning the booth, well, obviously, they provide corroboration to each other's claim as
well. Okay, all right, so that's a way to go. And go with the Fair Work Commission, that's good to know. All right. Yes, Lon, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Well, thank you, mate. Stephen's here, away you go.
Stephen, thanks for taking my call.
That's all right.
I've been trying to contact Gabriel Upton this morning.
The Attorney General. Yep.
Not easy.
Depends who you are, I think.
I'll tell you what, if you just happen to be a member of her electorate, and you know what, she gave me her cap down at the Bondi voting booth one day. So we were down there a few weeks ago, and I voted where I voted. And I said, geez, I'd love to have one of those caps. And she gave me the cap. So I've been wearing it around. And everyone says, who is she? And I said, well, she just happened to be the Attorney General.
And the member for Vaucluse. So what did you want to ask her about, Lon?
I want to know why she's trying to overturn a High Court decision in legislation today.
Yes. Yeah, well, look, it's an interesting question. Yeah, it goes to what I was asking Stephen earlier on. So what is effectively the justification? Are they trying to overturn a High Court ruling? What are they seeking to do?
They're not trying to overturn...
Hang on, let's just hear from Stephen.
I suspect that Parliament's intentions for ICAC to investigate certain conduct and dare I say it, misconduct, was to cover certain events. Now, obviously, the parliamentary draftsmen have put together the legislation. However, lawyers have looked at it and seen some shortcomings in the legislation, and they've challenged the authority of ICAC to make those decisions. And it's gone to the highest court of the land, and the highest court of the land says, look, ICAC has overstepped the mark based on this legislation. Parliament is empowered to make legislation, bring things into law. The courts are there to rule on and determine what is permissible under that law. So that's the differential that we're looking at, that Parliament has an intention to do something or have ICAC have certain powers. The High Court said, well, look, this legislation doesn't give ICAC those powers. And in those circumstances, they're entitled to say, well, we will make certain new legislation to ensure that ICAC does have those powers.
All right. OK, mate. Thank you, Lon. Some other recalls here for Stephen. Yes, Lily, good morning.
Oh, hi. I'd like to ask, please, if it's permissible via the court for me to verbalise my will via video and send copies to whoever I'm leaving my goodies to.
Look, I think wills really should be done in written form. It's certainly permissible for you to leave a video accompanying that will, but I would be more inclined, Lily, to enshrine your wishes in writing, have it properly executed, witnessed and stored, and if you're wanting to give some supporting information by way of video, certainly do that. But the requirement, I'm fairly sure, this one's caught me a bit on the hop, is that the wills have to be in writing.
But I would have thought that in this digital age, it would be acceptable.
Well, look, I think, Lily, in this digital age, I've seen situations where video has been altered and tampered with, and in those circumstances, people are shown to be saying something which, in fact, they haven't said, that you can cut...
Well,
yeah, sorry, go on.
Excuse me for interrupting. But I'm going to attempt it anyhow, and we'll see what the verdict is along the way. But thank you very much for your time.
That might be a test case.